morning on, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, in verse number 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. This means that God will complete the work that he began in your life in conception. God has a plan to execute and to accomplish in our life. He wants to do something in our life. He wants to finish something in our life. We were created in the womb of our mother. And God created us in that womb, according to the psalmist. He gave us our hair, our color, our eyes, our DNA, our genetic background, and so on and so forth. And he wants to do something for us. He wants to make us successful. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29, he said, I know the thoughts I have to you and toward you, and they're good thoughts. And I know the plans that I have for you, plans for success. Most people see themselves as failures. Most people see themselves as rejects or something on the side of the road that nobody wants. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. You have to understand that God is the one that calls us forth. God is the one that knew about us before we were even conceived in our mother's womb. 2 Timothy 4 and 18 says this, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And what I want to establish this morning as I begin the foundation of this sermon is God has brought his power into our life. We don't see ourselves as people who are filled with deity. We just see body, soul, and spirit. We look upon our life like we failed here and nobody wanted me here and I was rejected here and I failed over here. And we don't see that God is faithful, who is calling you continuously and presently calling you and places his power in you. And it's not by our works, the Bible says. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. God continually is trying to say to Christians, I am with you. I am placing my power in you. I am placing my resurrected power in you. I'm placing my faith in you. You're not alone. You're not doing this by yourself. You don't have to consider just your works. I will help you do those things to accomplish things in life to become successful. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, one of my favorite verses, it says this, for it is God, listen to the words, which worketh in you. What? For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you know what the word worketh means? It means God is active. God is efficient. God is fervently effectual. He's mighty in power. He shows forth. He shows up in your life. He's operating in your life. And he's a powerful influence in your life. So many times in life, especially when we come through to a trial or tribulation or some situation, we think we have to face it alone. We say, oh, how am I going to solve this? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to survive? Instead of saying, God, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to survive? How are we going to come out on the other side? It's not about I. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. And the Bible says that he worketh for what? For his good pleasure. He is satisfied and delighted when he puts his power in us and he shows us how to come out through the other side. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. God is saying, with my power, I'll bring you out of the valley, I'll bring you out of the affliction, I'll bring you out of your past, and I'll place you in a place of success. He told Joshua that he wanted Joshua to be successful. Some Christians think when you use the word success, you're talking about some new age psychology. God invented success. God is success. God spoke all this into existence. No man could do that. No man could do that. He made man in the image and likeness of God. only God could take dust and put it in the form of a man and breathe into his nostrils and create a being. Only God could take a man and put him to sleep and take a rib out of his side and create a woman. That's success. I've never been able to do that. But God can do that. That's why when we go through situations that are very trying, and we go through tremendous emotional experiences where we are emotionally drained because someone has pounded the heck out of us, we can say, God, how are you going to help me in this situation survive? How are you going to help me come out on the other side? How are you going to help me survive the storm, the winds, the rain, and everything else that's coming against me? The Bible says in Philippians, listen, for our conversation is in heaven. Most of our conversation, many times when we get into a situation, is just in our hearts. Instead of speaking to God, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Listen, one day God's going to give you a new body. One day God is going to call people forth from the grave and he's going to say, come alive. One day we're going to rise up, praise God, as a people and as a church. One day the power of God is going to come upon us. But in the meantime, God says, listen, when you're going through a hard time, when you're going to a place where you're doubting your value and your worth, he says what? Stand fast. Why? Because he says, I'm able to subdue all things unto myself. I'm able to subdue all things in your life, and I'm causing you to be victorious and successful. The problem with most people is their operating image is failure. Because we've been programmed in our brains to think the worst of ourselves than the best of ourselves through Christ. We say, oh, here we go again. I guess it's going to be a bad day again. I guess I'm going to fail again. I seem to be always wrong again. I'm not doing anything right again. And instead of our conversation being in heaven and relying on the power of God, our conversation is in the earth among ourselves and in our heart, and we get defeated because the enemy comes along and says, I agree with you. And then we agree with the lie of the devil, we agree with the lie of the enemy, and we accept that lie, and we believe that's who we are. That's not who you are. Until you see the picture of who you are, until you see your inheritance, as it says in Ephesians 1 and 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Oh my. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What's God saying here? You have received an inheritance. You don't have to wait for someone to bring it to you. It's already been brought to you through the cross. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. And there's certain things that he wants to give you right now. Some people think my inheritance is when I get to heaven. We're getting there, my friend. He will get us there. But in the meantime, God is trying to put down a boatload of blessings, a bountiful put a boatload of blessings upon us and to distribute it to us. And we're saying, oh, I don't deserve it. I have no value. I'm not worthy. Give it to someone else. I don't deserve this. And God is trying to pound on our door. Heaven is trying to reach earth. The will in heaven is trying to be done on the will in earth. And God is saying, yes, you do. You're my son. You're my daughter. But you have not seen yourself that way yet. We just don't see ourselves as Christ sees us. We have inherited the power of God. We haven't inherited the grace and mercy of God. We have inherited the forgiveness of God. We have received the kindness of the Lord. Mind, I'm telling you, we are privileged people. But the way we walk and the way we carry ourselves, you would never know that we are successful people who are privileged to know Christ. We seem to be broken down Model T Fords on the side of the road with no motor. And that's the way most people live every day. That's the way most people operate every day. I'm nobody. Who am I? I'm a speck of sand in the earth. I'm worthless. Who loves me? I don't even know what to do with my life anymore. And we don't realize the inheritance, part of the inheritance, is to be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're putting too much pressure on ourselves when we make decisions or try to make decisions instead of asking for the decision-making process of God and have our conversation in heaven and say, God, you help me. Lord, this is too heavy. This is too much of a burden. God, I'm unloading upon you today. I'm casting all my cares upon you, God, and you must show me the way. The Bible says when we lack wisdom to pray that God will upbraid us with wisdom and give it to us abundantly. But again, is our conversation in heaven or is it in here? Most of us try to solve our own problems by ourselves, and we don't take the inheritance that God has given to us and use it. Listen, if someone gave you a substantial amount of money because of their passing, and it was in the lawyer's office, and you're struggling. You're struggling to buy food. You're struggling to pay your rent and your mortgage. You're struggling to buy a pair of shoes for your kid. And the lawyer has been calling you and sending you messages and emails and texts, and he's telling you, listen, Uncle so-and-so has left you a great deal of money in an inheritance. Would you please come by and sign for this check because it's a substantial amount of money? But here's what most people do. I don't deserve that money. I don't even know that uncle. Why would some uncle want to give me money? This must be a hoax. You must have the wrong guy. This lawyer keeps calling me, sending me texts and emails. Man, I don't know why this guy is bothering me. And so what do people do? They stay in their struggle. They stay in the struggle to buy food, to pay their rent, to buy a pair of shoes for their kids. Instead of making that trip to the lawyer's office and saying, I understand there is an inheritance for me. It's the same with Christians. We continue to struggle. We continue to murmur. We continue to criticize. We continue to do all these things and complain. And God is saying, will you please go to the lawyer's office? His name is Dr. Jesus Christ. And he's got a check for you. And he's got an inheritance for you. Will you please pick up your inheritance? But I don't know if I deserve it. Boy, I was really bad when I was young. And I've done some wrong things, and I really messed up my life, and I don't know if I deserve that money to give it to someone else. My God, tell the lawyer to give it to me. I'll take it and use it for God's kingdom. Come on, people. You deserve it not because of what you've done. You deserve it because of what he has done, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you deserve the inheritance. Ephesians, listen, 1:19 says, and what is the exceeding, look at this word, greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I want to break this down for you. I want to teach you here for a moment. Look at the words. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? Do you know what that word exceeding means? It means to throw beyond the usual mark. It's like Michael Phelps having 23 gold medals. No one's done that. He has thrown beyond the usual mark. He has exceeded greatness. Now I'm talking about God now. I'm not talking about 23 gold medals. I'm talking about the gold medal. I'm talking about the risen Christ. And the Bible says that his greatness is exceeding. It surpasses. It's supereminent. It excels. And what does it say? Exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Toward who? Toward you. You're the person that's inheriting this power. You're the person that's inheriting this greatness. You're the person that God wants to receive and give this greatness to. And what does he say? According to the working of his mighty power. Listen, God isn't sleeping. God isn't on vacation. And I know it's hard for people to believe that God sees you and has you in mind. Because, again, we go back to our history as people and we think, why would God be interested in me? I'm just a nobody. Does God really know where I live? Does God know my social security number? Listen, God knows your DNA because he gave it to you according to the psalm in your mother's womb, and he fashioned you according to his plan and to his will. My God knows where you are. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And God says, I want to work in you my mighty power. I want to operate in you. I want to be effective in you. I want to be active in you. But listen, that word working means fixed position. What does that mean? God's saying, listen, I'm going to take a fixed position in your life. Okay? You can't get rid of me. Okay? You're just not going to get rid of me. I'm married to you. Okay? And my position is fixed. And I'm going to knock on your door and knock on your door. I'm going to hound you like a hound dog hunting somewhere in the land somewhere. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to knock on your door until you understand what I am, who I am, and what I want to give you. And I'm going to break down all of your unworthy thinking. I'm going to break down all of your nonsense and all of your talk. And I'm going to get to you somehow because I'm working in you with my exceeding greatness and my power. And my power has dominion. My power has strength. My power has vigor. And I'm going to break you down. Listen, it's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. It's the same power, hallelujah, that called him out of the grave. It's the same power that woke up Lazarus. It's the same power that woke up Jairus' daughter. It's the same power when he said, take up thy bed and walk. It's the same power, my friend. But here we are, lowly Christians, pilgrims, walking through the wilderness, not realizing our inheritance, not realizing the glory of God has come down upon us. Walking in our room with our shoulders down and our head looking to the floor, looking for all the loose change. And God's saying, is that what I created? Is that my son? If your son or daughter walked in the house with their shoulders down, and their head looking to the floor for loose change, what would you do as a mom and dad? Would you just let them continue to look depressed, discouraged, looking down to the floor? Or will you intercept them and say, hey, young man, sit here. What seems to be the problem? What seems to be the issue? You're down, you're morose, you're sad, you're sorrowful, you're depressed. You're looking down on the floor looking for loose change? What's wrong with you, son? Well, how much more does God, who looks upon us as sons and daughters of the King, when he sees us walking in the room and sees us with our shoulders down and head to the floor, don't you think he's going to have an intervention eventually? Don't you think he's going to say, hey, you need to sit down here because I'm trying to speak to you? Don't you think he's going to have some kind of divine intervention and say, listen, we need to have a talk? Because that's not the way I created you. He put the serpent on his belly, not man. Man was created to be upright. Man was created to walk in the power and the unction and in the anointing of God. This same power is in us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says this, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Woo! A what? A lively hope. We have to look at ourselves as Christians and ask ourselves, do we really believe we've been begotten by the power of God and that we are born again, spirit-filled Christians and that we are a lively hope, that we can give hope to other people? It says this, hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to this, to an inheritance, there's that word again, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept who are kept, why what? By the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh my God, we go through life and saying, I'm dead now. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to come out of this hole. I'll never come out of this valley. I'll never recover. And God is saying, wait a minute. I'm keeping you by the power of God. I'm keeping you by the anointing of God. I'm keeping you by the resurrected power of God. My God, do you know what the word kept means? It means a garrison. It means God is guarding you. You got to see the angelic soldiers around you. I said you have to see the angelic hosts around you. He's got a garrison around you. He's guarding you. And he's saying, listen, my power is evident in your life if you just look for it. I've already given you this inheritance that's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It will not fade away. I'm taking a fixed position in your life. It says this in Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, how much plainer could it be that God is in us? His power is in us. The resurrected power of God is in us. You're not living by yourself. We're trying to live life by ourselves. And it doesn't work. We're trying to make decisions by ourselves, and it doesn't work. We're trying to control our environment by ourselves, and it doesn't work. God is saying, heaven is trying to meet earth. And he's trying to connect with a few people that will actually believe this. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh, I don't know, Pastor. I just don't see myself that way. I just don't see myself that way. I don't think I have much value, much worth. I have so much rejection and pain and emotion. And I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not seeing it. That's faith. Faith is believing. Faith is accepting. Faith goes beyond your thinking, beyond your thoughts, beyond your carnal mind. Faith is a spiritual connection between you and God. Faith is a spiritual connection between heaven and earth. Listen, you got to get the text from heaven. You need to receive the email from heaven. You need to receive the memo, the to from heaven, that you are a child of God, that you are a son of God, that you are a daughter of the King, and we have a seat at the King's table. We are not illegitimate children at the family reunion. Praise God. I said we are not illegitimate children at the family reunion. We are the sons and daughters of the King. It's taken some of us a long time to see that and to accept that. It's taken some of us a long time to realize that this Spirit of God that raised Jesus out of that tomb, this Spirit of God that John the Baptist saw when he saw Jesus come into the Jordan River, he said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And all of a sudden, he said, I saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, come in the form of a dove and settle upon Jesus. And I heard heaven open, and it said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. My God, it's that same dove, hallelujah, that came down on the Jordan River on the head of Jesus Christ. Praise God that John the Baptist saw. That Holy Spirit is in me today. That Holy Spirit is in you today. And we think we've got to do this by ourselves. My friend, no siree. We have to do this by God's Spirit, who's trying to connect with us. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit, look at the word, it's Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. That's all the stuff that the devil wants to remind you of, all the nonsense and the garbage I'm not worthy. I'm not valuable. I can't forgive myself, blah, blah, blah. All of that baggage. The Holy Spirit comes to help our infirmities, to pray about these things. For we don't even know what we should pray for as we ought. But listen, but the Spirit, listen, the capital S is the Holy Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. My God, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercessory prayer for us. My God, he's praying for you right now. He sees you right now. His presence, praise God, is known in your heart right now. There's a connection. And we're not seeing it. Because if we really saw it, it would reflect in our lives, in our walk, in our talk. There'd be a sparkle in our eye, a step in our walk, and a wind at our back, that we would know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God is with me. God is with me. This isn't my problem. This is God's problem. This isn't my burden. This is God's burden. This is not my decision to make. It's God's decision that he'll show me the wisdom and knowledge that I need to make this decision, and he'll give me peace in my heart. We're putting too much pressure on ourselves. We're putting too much pressure on ourselves to solve problems. And when we try to do that, we want to control the earth. We want to go into the control room, and we want to shut the door, and we want to start to press the buttons. Maybe I have them do it this way. Do it this way. Control this. Control that. Make sure you don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. And my God, how can people live that way? It's so straining and restricted. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's freedom. And we've lost something along the way. We've lost our way in the church world. We've lost our way to depend upon God and to ask God, what direction should I go? How should I proceed? Should I proceed? Should I go left or right? Paul the Apostle, he said in Ephesians 3:7, he says, wherefore I was made a minister. How? According to the gift of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. You know why Paul was a great man of God? Because he recognized God's power in his life. Because he recognized that it wasn't he who was preaching. It wasn't he that was doing it. It wasn't his background of religion. It wasn't his background of intelligence. It wasn't his background of academia, who was a very educated man. But it was through the effectual working of the mighty power of God. And when that Spirit of God, it's called the anointing of God, is on you, that Spirit of God flows through you. That Spirit of God moves through you. And we have that anointing, and we have that unction. Paul said in Ephesians 4:16, listen, from whom the whole body, this is the church, the body of Christ, both body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let me tell you what that means. God's saying, first of all, can you just imagine that my power is in you? Let's just stop right there for a moment, God's saying. Can you really believe that the Spirit that raised me on the third day out of the tomb, I placed in you? That's the first hurdle. Then he says to the church, can you all believe collectively, as a group, that my resurrected power is in you? What's he saying? He's saying,